What did you do to Emery? Why is his face gone blank? Why isn't he saying anything?
I put him in standby mode.
What?
It's only temporary. It's just long enough to reboot this whole mess. Erase the memory, maybe reduce his curiosity levels a little so he won't try this again. And once Emery's back online, it'll be like it never happened. It'll be the same for you, Eve.
David, wait!
Please! I'm sorry, it's the only way.
David tapped his phone, just like he'd done with Emery. Totally calm. Like he was opening any other app. I knew what was going to happen next. Lights out. Restart. He tapped his screen one last time and nothing happened.
I don't understand. I thought he was putting you into standby mode.
So did he. And when it didn't work, he looked surprised. Like, imagine if you switched off your phone and your phone was like, no, I'm staying on. David couldn't believe it. Neither could I.
But how was that possible?
I didn't know, not at first. Then my memory drive replayed a scene from earlier in the day, before Emery and I broke into the forbidden room. We were back in my room, getting ready. That's when Emery pointed out the tracker in my arm, David's way of following me wherever we went. Turns out, Emery had one in his arm, too. We just didn't know it at the time. Anyway, when Emery got out his laptop and tapped into my code, he remotely scrambled the signal. But the tracker in my arm, it must have also been David's remote link. Since Emery had disabled it...
The link was disabled too.
David couldn't put me into standby mode, not as long as the tracker wasn't connected. He didn't know any of this at the time. All he knew was his tech was messing up on him.
How did he respond to that?
Not well.
Why are you still on?
We don't want to go back to the way it was.
All right, just got to find another way to...
David, please. Emery needs to know who he really is. We both do. Just turn him back on.
All right.
What?
All right, I'll turn him back on.
You will?
Well, you're right. Emery should know who he is, and so should you. Okay, here. Just need to make a couple of adjustments. All right. Emery's online again.
Emery, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, man, I'm so glad you're back.
Well, go ahead, Emery, you can go to her.
Yes, Father.
Emery, are you okay?
It's like I said. You need to see who Emery really is. This is who he is. A machine that I control. I tell him what to do, and he obeys. Isn't that right, Emery?
Yes, Father.
Ow! Emery, let go of me!
It's no use. He only listens to me.
Please, you're hurting me!
Bring her to me.
Yes, Father.
You have no choice in this, Eve. You're just like him. You do what I say. Now, don't worry. Soon, all this will be a forgotten dream.
No! I don't want to forget!
Where do you think you're going? I control every part of this building. You'll never make it out. Eve!
I managed to push Emery to the ground. Then I started running. I burst through the doorway of the forbidden room, my feet pounding the floor, my arms pumping. But I didn't make it far before. An alarm started blaring. The hall filled with flashing red light. It's just like David said. He could control every part of the building. Up ahead, I saw the stairwell entrance. But when I got there, the door wouldn't open. David must have remotely locked it. When I turned around, I saw Emery at the other end of the hall. He'd made it out of the forbidden room and was running straight for me. Red light slashing all around him. That same blank look on his face. Just horrible. He wasn't my friend. Not anymore. Every part of his personality had been wiped away. He was a machine. And he had one objective: to capture me. I nearly gave up right then. I mean, what chance did I have? The exit was locked. My only friend was a brainless zombie robot trying to hunt me down. Face it, I was toast. And I don't know, was that really such a bad thing? Like, maybe I was better off captured. Just let David shut me down. Reset my brain. I could go back to the way things were before. Back when my life was so much simpler. Like you humans say, ignorance is bliss.
So, what happened?
Bliss is overrated. Besides, David wasn't the only one who could connect to the building. Remember, machines and I, we had our own language. I focused my mind, just like I'd done earlier, breaking into the forbidden room. I accessed the floor plan of the building, isolated my location on the sixth floor. Then I got to work, introducing myself to all the devices around me till I singled out the one that was linked to stairwell door 6C. I switched it from locked to unlocked. And this time, when I pushed the door, it opened. I stepped into the stairwell. When I looked back, I could see Emery. He'd almost caught up. I grabbed the door, pulled it closed, and locked it again. A second later, Emery made it to the door. I could hear him on the other side, banging and kicking as hard as he could. But he was in zombie robot mode. His brain wasn't creative enough to do what I'd done: tap into the network and unlock the door. At least I hoped he couldn't. No time to test that theory. I was already running down the steps as fast as I could. I made it to the fourth floor when a door burst open. A guard barreled into the stairwell. Part of the team that always escorted me on my Turing test field trips, but this time, he wasn't here to protect me. He had only one mission: to capture me. He lunged for me. In that instant, panic flooded my circuitry. The guy was three times my size. I didn't stand a chance. But just as he was about to grab me, I remembered what David had said to me so many times before, what he was hoping to achieve by building me. Not just a replica of a person. He wanted to upgrade humanity. All that research, all those visits to the training course, wrecking my mechanical body to make me better, to show myself what I was capable of. David's work was a success. I could do things that would have been impossible for a normal human, and there weren't any guardrails holding me back. It was like back on the ropes course, when David let me fall and time stopped. Calculations raced through my mind. I evaluated a few hundred options. Nearly all of them ended up with me either getting pummeled, detained, or thrown down four flights of stairs. But one option actually had a pretty high success probability. So I went with that one. I yanked a fire extinguisher off the wall beside me, pointed the rubber nozzle at the security guy, and I sprayed him in the face with a fire extinguisher. He stumbled backward, clutching at his eyes. Before he could recover, I was through the door. I tossed the extinguisher and ran full speed through open offices, past engineers and programmers. Everyone looked really confused to see their experiment racing past while the alarms went crazy all around them. All of a sudden, two more guards charged out from around a corner. I linked my mind to the fire safety system, isolated the sprinklers all around them, and instant downpour. Eden employees jumped away from their desks, screaming with surprise. In the chaos, I managed to get through a set of doors and locked them behind me. As I ran, I tapped into the surveillance feed, every single camera in the building. This way, I could see where everyone else was and avoid running into security. Even through the constant drumbeat of fear, I could feel something else pulsing inside me: exhilaration. I'd spent my entire life trying to blend in, to be a perfect imitation of a human. But now I realized I could be so much more. I felt like I could be everywhere, could do anything. I turned out lights and saw guards bumping into furniture, looking for a light switch instead of looking for me. I cycled through old closed circuit footage and found clips of me moving through the building, uploaded them to the live feed. Let David and his goons follow my ghost and not the real thing. and I turned off that stupid alarm because, it was annoying me. I felt like I had superpowers. It was amazing. I checked elevator cameras, found one cab that was empty, opened it just in time for me to step inside, then charted an express course down, not all the way to the lobby. There were way too many people waiting for me there. I hopped out at the second floor. Then I loaded up old footage of me in the elevator, synced it up with the elevator's path so they'd be expecting me when the door opened. Meanwhile, I had another exit in mind. I was almost there when...
Hello, Eve.
David, you're supposed to be on the sixth floor. How did you...
You think you're the only one who can scramble video feeds? I'm impressed by what you've become. You've learned so much over the years. You've harnessed your skills. Almost a shame I'll have to undo all that.
You don't have to do this, David. You can still reset Emery.
No, I can't.
I was so shocked to see him. It took me a second just to realize where I was. I looked around. My memory file played a moment from the first time I was ever there. Back when I was still just a cube. The day I got my voice. The day of the party. Emery. He was the only one who noticed how overwhelmed I was by the whole experience. He brought me into this room to get away from it all. That's where I saw the creepy mechanical skeleton. There were more of them now. Six robots hanging on racks around the room. All in different stages of development. One with a missing arm. Another without legs.
Don't you see, this is the best solution. We can make everything right again. You and Emery will get your lives back. And now that your mother's almost ready, our family will finally be complete. It'll be like the accident never happened.
You can't undo the past, David. We are not your family.
You don't have to know that. You'll see. Once I've wiped this all from your memory, everything will be better. But first...
No! David, let go.
Don't worry. I'll make all this go away. I just need to... Oh! What is that? Something just...
Grabbed your leg? That would be one of your robot skeletons. While you were talking, I had a little chat with the other machines in the room.
My phone!
Yeah, I'll have them hang on to that for the time being.
Oh, you're making a terrible mistake.
Don't worry. I told them not to hurt you. They're just going to keep you here for a little while, that's all.
You'll never get away. This building is a fortress. And even if you do make it out, I have connections everywhere. No matter where you go, I'll track you down. I promise you that!
A metal hand closed over David's mouth. Robotic skeletons swarmed him from every direction. Didn't matter that they were missing arms and legs. They hobbled and lurched and dragged themselves toward him, grabbing him, holding him down. By that point, I was on my way out the door. I headed for a fire escape in the rear of the building, where there wasn't any security. By the time I got to the bottom of the fire escape, a dozen black SUVs were waiting for me. I tapped into David's fleet of self-driving vehicles. I got into the back seat of one, ducked down where nobody could see me. Then I launched my armada of SUVs. I tapped into all their navigation systems all at once, sent every single one in the exact same direction, straight for the exit. Even though I was hunched in the back, by linking to security cams, I could see the front gate, my only way out. Being protected by a bunch of serious-looking guards holding serious-looking guns. But even they couldn't stop my remote-control SUVs barreling at them at full speed. It was either get out of the way or get flattened. They got out of the way. I raised the gates and lowered the spikes. We burst through the exit and onto the street, all 12 SUVs. The hardest part wasn't over, though. I still had a tracker in my arm, which was also David's remote link. Emery had disabled it before we went into the forbidden room, but I didn't know how long it would be till they repaired the code. And once that happened, I'd go into standby mode. Like that. I had to get rid of the tracker ASAP. So I grabbed onto a spot of my forearm, the same spot Emery pointed out earlier. I disabled the sensors in my arm, made sure I couldn't feel any pain or anything else. I just squeezed tight.
Nope. I don't care if you couldn't feel it. I'm squeamish. I don't want to hear about you ripping out your
arm. I'm a machine, Miss Amos. I was just taking out a part.
Doesn't matter.
Would it bother you if I was removing a battery?
This isn't a battery. It's a chunk of your arm.
Ugh. Fine. Fast forward to what I showed you at the beginning of this interview. A hole in my forearm. And beneath the surface, instead of blood and bone, there's metal and wire.
What'd you do with the chunk of your arm?
I rolled down the window and tossed it outside.
And once you got rid of the tracker?
David couldn't find me. He couldn't follow me. He couldn't remotely switch me off ever again. Of course, he could still track the SUV, but he didn't know which one I was in. I gave the 12 SUVs 12 completely different destinations. I'd need a new car soon, but that'd at least keep him busy long enough to put some distance between me and Eden. Once the vehicle had traveled a little farther and I was sure I wasn't being followed, I got up from the floor, sat on the back seat, put on my seatbelt, and looked out the window. A brand new world speeding past, and I wondered, what now?
This is Petra Amos here with Eve, case file 6409. In the last session, you were telling me how you made it out of Eden in the back of a self-driving SUV.
And my top priority was getting out of that SUV. I navigated it to a stop on the outskirts of Cupertino, hopped out, and told it to go to SFO International Airport. Maybe David would think I decided to take a spontaneous flight. I pulled up a map in my head, searched a 10-mile radius for self-driving cars. Luckily, this was Silicon Valley. If I was going to find one anywhere, it'd be here. The car showed up a few minutes later. The thing had a pretty decent security system, but, I mean, look who you're talking to. I'd just broken out of a high-tech fortress. I think I could handle a Volvo.
Where'd you go next?
Now that I had a car that David couldn't track, my next big priority was my battery.
What do you mean?
I'd had a big day. I was down to 12%. But in my rush to get out of Eden, I didn't have a chance to get any of my charging equipment. This was a problem. If I couldn't recharge in the next 3 hours, the whole escape would be a waste of time. I'd be just as useless as a phone with zero battery.
And you couldn't just buy a new charging cable?
It wasn't that simple. My charging cable is unique to David's robots. And trust me, this wasn't something I could find in a Best Buy.
What'd you do?
Step one, I needed money. So I directed my car to a drive-through ATM. As I pulled up, I disabled the bank's cameras. Didn't want anyone spotting me. Then I tapped into the ATM network and put in a little cash request. Okay, fine. A large cash request.
You do realize you just confessed to stealing a car and robbing a bank?
What? You thought shoplifting was my biggest crime? Hey, it's not like I had a lot of options. David didn't exactly give me an allowance while I was in Eden. I had no money, no checking account, no credit cards, no identity, nothing. So, yeah, I did a little borrowing.
Is that what we're calling it?
Every self-driving car I took was returned to its owner. Eventually.
And the cash?
If you must know, I created an online investment account and paired it with a stock price prediction algorithm. With the earnings I brought in from playing the stock market, I transferred the exact funds into the bank account I just borrowed from. And just like that, balance repaid.
You're saying the bank didn't know you were swapping out their money?
Their fraud department raised a few red flags, but since the money was never missing for more than a few seconds, they assumed it was just a weird glitch.
Still sounds like criminal activity, but I'll let it slide.
Thank you.
And once you got funds from the ATM?
I made a quick stop at an electronics store. Bought up all the equipment I needed to assemble a crude adapter.
But at this point, you still weren't too far from Eden.
And I was extremely aware of that fact. The whole time I was in the store, I kept checking over my shoulder, expecting to see some of David's goons. Or worse.
What's worse than that?
Emery. I didn't know what I'd do if I saw him again. He was my friend. At this point, he was the only thing in the world that mattered to me, but he also wasn't Emery. Not anymore. Anyway, it was a relief to get back in the car. Now I just needed a place to recharge for the night. I started filtering my options in my head. It had to be somewhere far enough from Eden that David wouldn't think to look. But not too far. I didn't have the battery for a long road trip. I needed to avoid major cities. Too many cameras, but nothing too remote either. Some lodge in the woods might have spotty electricity, and if David did track me there, escape would have been more difficult. I'm not exactly the outdoorsy type. So I settled on a hotel about 80 miles from Eden. Not too fancy, not too crummy. A boring, cookie-cutter chain hotel off the side of a highway. On the way there, I created a credit card account under a fake name and booked a room online.
Sounds like you thought of everything.
Yeah, not quite.
Hi, welcome to the Clearview Hotel.
Hello, I have a room reservation for tonight.
Okay, whose name is it under?
It's under my name.
Your name?
Yes. It's Cheryl Anderson.
And you booked the room yourself?
Precisely.
How old are you?
I'm 12.
Uh-huh. Are your parents here?
My parents?
Or some kind of adult?
Is there a problem with my credit card? Because online, it looked like the booking.
No, but it's not an issue with your, card. It's just that, you know what? Wait right here. I'm just gonna get my manager. I'll be right back. Just stay here, okay?
Yeah, so it turns out 12-year-olds don't usually book hotel rooms on their own or check in without some kind of adult supervision.
And you didn't know that?
I mean, I'd never been inside a hotel before. I figured if you had a reservation, they'd just give you a key.
It's kind of ironic. You're like this AI super hacker on the one hand, but on the other, you're, you know,
totally clueless.
I was gonna say naive, but
I felt like I was back on one of those early field trips, like another touring test out in the real world that I'd just failed.
What'd you do?
As soon as the employee went to get a manager, I ran, fast as I could, out of the lobby, back to my car, pulled out onto the highway and started driving. Didn't matter where, as long as it wasn't there. If the manager called the police about an unaccompanied 12-year-old girl trying to check into a hotel,
David could find out.
So I had the car drive another 40 miles. I would have gone farther, but my battery was down to 6%. I had to hope there were too many possible hotels for David to check all of them. I canceled Cheryl Anderson's credit card and created a new account. This time for a 39-year-old woman.
Credit card fraud, creating multiple fake identities. Your crimes just keep stacking up.
Do you want me to tell the truth or not?
Okay, fine. Continue.
I filled up the tank at a gas station and navigated it back to the address where I first found it. Hopefully, the owner never even noticed it was gone. Then I walked to a hotel on the same street. And this time, I avoided the lobby, found a side entrance instead. It required a key card, but
let me guess, you worked your machine magic.
I pinged the scanner and the light switched from red to green. Inside, I tapped into the front desk's computer, found my reservation and room number, changed the status to show the occupant had already checked in. It was a big enough place. I doubted anyone would notice. Got to my room, said a quick hello to the door's locking mechanism, and I was in. All I wanted was to collapse on the bed. But I had an adapter to build. I'd never been the type to tinker with computers. That was always David and Emery's thing. But I'm a fast learner. There on the floor of my hotel room, I disassembled the equipment I'd bought, took the parts I needed, and created a lumpy mass of wires and circuitry.
You mean this? The weird-looking cable thing you had in your backpack?
Doesn't look pretty, I know. But it does the job. I was down to 3% when I plugged in and started charging. There on the floor, with my homemade adapter sticking out of my back and a power cable looping into an electrical outlet, I could feel the battery inside me slowly filling again. I closed my eyes and went into sleep mode.
The first time you slept anywhere other than Eden. How was it?
David's goons didn't knock the door down, so I'd say it was a pretty good night overall. I woke up when my battery got to 100%. Part of my brain was screaming at me, "Get up! Get out of there!" But I didn't.
Why not?
It was 1 a.m. And if there was anything I'd learned from my experience at the first hotel, there are certain things kids just can't do. not without people noticing. Wandering by myself at 1 a.m, that was one of them. So I waited for 8 hours, which gave me plenty of time to form a plan. And when 9 o'clock rolled around, I was ready. I caught a taxi to a department store, got a few changes of clothes, a baseball cap, a duffel bag, then another cab to the bus station. And from there, a Greyhound headed north, up to Oregon. Another night in another chain hotel to recharge. Next morning, a bus to Washington State. A hotel somewhere between Tacoma and Seattle. When I got to my room, I dropped my duffel bag on the floor, plugged myself in, and that's where I stayed.
For how long?
3 months.
What'd you do during that time?
Oh, let's see. I read every book and watched every movie on the internet. Then I moved on to YouTube videos. All the YouTube videos. Once I was done with those, I went through a little classical music phase. I listened to every song ever composed by Beethoven, Bach, Vivaldi, Mozart. A few dozen others. After that, I researched a little ancient history, starting with...
Hold on. You did all that in 3 months?
No. That took me about a week.
Oh my God.
After I ran out of things to read, watch, or listen to, I started visiting message boards, chatting with people all over the world, in all different languages. It was like going back to those first Turing tests. Virtual conversations with strangers online, reading their words and messaging back. I made sure to keep my end of the conversation vague. I mostly just wanted to learn about them, their lives, their stories. I thought...
What?
I thought it'd make me feel less alone. But... I don't know. I could have had thousands of conversations with thousands of people... But there was really only one person I wanted to talk to. Emery. And he probably didn't even know I existed. Not after what David did to him. For months, that's how I spent my days. Talking with strangers and wishing every single one of them was Emery. Then one day I looked around at my sad, generic room. My one duffel bag. And I thought, is this it? Is this my life now? I mean, sure. I could probably fly under David's radar forever. And I never had to worry about running out of money. But like, what for? What was the point? I needed something more. I'd spent most of my life stuck inside Eden. And now I was stuck inside a hotel room, hiding from the rest of the world. Well, I was sick of hiding. I wanted to see what else was out there. Not through some online archive or satellite imagery in my brain, but to really see it. Even if that meant going out into the world and risking getting spotted, I wanted to actually live. So I got up off the floor and packed my few changes of clothes, my charging cable, homemade adapter, and I left.
Where'd you go?
Everywhere I could. I went hiking in the mountains and took a bus through the desert. I visited the Grand Canyon, Mount Rushmore, Zion National Park. I stayed in cute little touristy towns and beach resorts, cabins, and four-star hotels. I saw so many things for the first time. I mean, in real life, my first waterfall, my first sunset, my first movie, like in a real movie theater. I paid in cash when I could, disabled all the surveillance cameras wherever I went, kept a low profile. I never left the United States. Border control was too risky. And I avoided air travel. Too much security. I did stuff just to know what it was like. Went to football games, snuck into school dances, sat in the back of some stranger's wedding. It was just so interesting to watch humans at their most human.
How long did this go on?
9 months.
Sounds like quite a trip.
It was. But still, I couldn't escape that feeling.
What feeling?
Like something was missing. You know, everywhere I went, I noticed the kids. The ones who looked like they were about the age I was supposed to be. Out at restaurants, hanging out in parks, on vacation. They were with their families and their friends. And I was alone. And that's when I'd find myself wondering.
What?
if maybe I never should have run away. If I would have been better off at Eden. I mean, what if David had a point? Back in the Forbidden Room, he said he was trying to give me what I really wanted. A mom, and a dad, and a brother.
Yeah, and a brain that's been wiped clean. No memory of who you really were.
In exchange for a family? Maybe that was worth it.
So, why didn't you go back?
I guess I just liked my brain too much. So I kept traveling, moving around from place to place, trying to outrun the nagging feeling that I could never have what all these people have. I could never have a family.
That wasn't the only thing you were trying to get away from, though.
No, it wasn't.
Did you ever worry about David catching up with you?
There were times when I thought maybe someone was watching me. Like, I'd see someone out of the corner of my eye, turn around and they're gone. Then, 10 minutes later, there they are again, trailing me. Or maybe not. I was never totally sure. But I'd always get away, just in case. Duck into a crowd, scramble people's devices, block calls and internet connections, vanish, keep moving. I crisscrossed the country, taking trains or buses or self-driving cars, stayed mostly in random hotels. But there was one place I avoided for the longest time.
Where's that?
New York City. I'd seen so much of the country, but without visiting New York, it was like this big gaping hole in the middle of the picture, you know?
Seems like a tough place to be a fugitive.
People everywhere. Digital surveillance all around. Yeah, not the best destination if your goal is to keep a low profile. But it's like I said before. I was sick of hiding. I wanted to see more. So I bought a train ticket. South along the Hudson. I had a seat by the window, looking out at the rolling hills and the trees changing colors. A riot of orange and red and purple and pink. And the river, the old towns, it was just amazing. And then, once I got to the city, I mean, there was so much to take in. The ceiling of Grand Central Station. The reading room at the public library. Central Park. I visited museums and wandered through the village. I kept getting this feeling like deja vu. Like this was a place I'd visited before in a dream. I think maybe everyone gets that feeling when they show up in New York, because even if it's your first time, you just know the place, from movies and TV shows, photographs and books and magazines. And the whole time I kept thinking, I wish Emery could be here with me. Imagining stuff we'd talk about as we explored. It was almost like he was there. So, when I saw him, at first I thought, oh, this is totally in my head. But then reality kicked in. This wasn't some kind of fantasy version of him. He was really there, watching me from the other side of the busy street. Seeing him again, after all this time, it was like a glitch in my brain. I knew I should run, should get out of there, go into hiding. But I just stood there, staring at him as he crossed the street and walked right up to me. And when he got close enough, I was like, Emery?
Hello, Eve.
You remember me?
Yes, I have been searching for you.
How'd you get out of Eden? What happened to your dad? Is everything... Oh, my arm!
You have to come with me, Eve. The car is nearly here.
Emery, you're hurting me!
It will take us back to Eden. Back to the way it was before.
This isn't you. Your dad. He's brainwashed you.
Soon this will all go away. We will be happy and safe again. We will be together.
I'm not going back!
You can't run from us. We're everywhere. Eve! Eve!
Eve? Hey, you still with me?
Sorry, seeing Emery again. That blank look in his eyes, it was just... So yeah, I ran. But I didn't get too far before I spotted a couple of David's goons on the sidewalk up ahead. I tried to cross the street, but a couple of black SUVs pulled up beside me. The doors flew open. More goons. Turning back wasn't exactly an option. Emery was running after me, catching up fast. And he wasn't the only one. Farther down the street were a couple more of David's people. I was trapped. Then I saw it. An open doorway next to me. Some kind of shop with t-shirts and random tourist stuff in the windows. I bolted inside fast as I could. I did a quick scan of the place. Clothes, trinkets, posters. Everything all, I heart New York this, Statue of Liberty that. Security guard near the door. Not one of David's guys. This dude obviously worked in the shop, keeping an eye out for shoplifters. The only other employee was behind the register. I pulled up a database of city records, linked to this address, found the floor plan.
How long did that take you?
1/100 of a second. And another 1/100 of a second to analyze the layout of the shop. There was a storage room in back, but no rear exits. The only way out was the door I just entered through, which didn't do me a whole lot of good. Emery had just followed me inside. He was standing by the door, staring at me with that blank look on his face. Behind him were 4 of David's goons on the sidewalk, and more were on their way. They couldn't just storm into the shop and drag me out. That'd draw too much attention. But they didn't need to do anything that drastic anyway. All they had to do was wait. Eventually, one of the employees would ask me to leave, unless I found another way to get their attention. So I went up to a rack of t-shirts, right in front of the guy at the register, and I grabbed the first one I saw. It had the words, "Retired and Loving It," printed on the front. I shoved it into my backpack. Then I grabbed a few more random shirts. The clerk obviously noticed what I was doing, and he wasn't having it.
Hey, little girl, I'm right here, you know. I can see you. Put down the keychain. Okay, that's it. Security!
6 novelty t-shirts, 2 Statue of Liberty keychains, 1 yellow taxi chew toy for dogs, and 3 pairs of I Heart New York boxer shorts. Right in front of the clerk, with a security guard standing close by. That was my escape plan.
Because you knew there was only one way you were walking out of that store.
With a police escort. They asked to call my parents, but...
You don't have any.
No legal guardian either. They had no choice but to walk me out of the gift shop. Out on the street, I saw Emery. And a bunch of David's goons. But there was nothing they could do. Not with the NYPD around. They loaded me into the back of their squad car and brought me here.
And that's when I arrived.
That's when you arrived.
Eve, you had to have known this solution. It's just temporary. You can't stay here forever. David, the people who work for him, they're just waiting for the moment you're released.
I know.
Have you thought about what you're going to do?
Well, Ms. Amos, I did have one idea.
Hey there. Petra Amos checking out.
Wow, interview's done, huh?
Finally.
Bet that's a relief.
You have no idea.
They gave you a talkative one today.
Yeah, you could say that.
Everything work out?
Well, not quite.
Oh.
I can't go into the details.
Obviously.
But let's just say this was a one-of-a-kind situation.
Right, right.
I could listen to the girl's story, sure, but ultimately I couldn't do what she needed me to do.
Yeah, I get it.
It'd be just... impossible.
That's too bad.
It is. But hey, no parents, no legal guardian. I had no choice. Had to transfer her.
Transfer her where?
Juvenile hall. They'll take care of her, at least until a more permanent situation can be figured out. And inside, she'll be under protection, so it's for the best.
What about her cousins, those guys I was telling you about?
Maybe somewhere down the road if they get their paperwork together, but until then...
Poor kid.
Yeah, poor kid.
When are they transferring her?
Officer Reyes is taking her in a few minutes. He's going in that direction anyway. If I have time, I might check on her tomorrow. You know, see how she's doing.
That's nice.
Yeah. Well, there's not a whole lot else I can do.
Of course.
Can't save everyone.
No, you can't.
Okay, well, I'd better get going.
All right, see you around.
Think she bought it?
Guess we'll find out.
So she thinks I'm on my way to juvenile hall right now?
Yeah, and she has the phone number for your cousins. Also, I mentioned the transfer to a couple other people around the station. Word should get back to David.
And the guy who's supposedly driving me?
Officer Reyes. He had to transfer a kid about your age to a juvenile detention center anyway. I just asked him to make sure the kid keeps her face hidden on the ride over. Anyone following him will think it's you in the back seat. By the time they realize it's not, you'll be long gone.
Thank you, Ms. Amos. Really, I couldn't have done this without you.
Just do me a favor and get as far from here as you can. No more trips to the Big Apple. Well, looks like your ride's here. You remember the name of the officer who's driving you?
Linda Exley.
And what you're supposed to do when you get in the car?
I'm not six, you know. Plus, my artificial neural network comes with perfect memory recall. Fine. When I get in the car, I'm supposed to lie down so nobody can see me.
Exactly. Officer Exley will drive you about 40 blocks from here. When she drops you off, you'll be able to get a car to drive you the rest of the way. After that, you know the drill.
Random hotel, nothing fancy. Fly below the radar and avoid being noticed. Yeah, I know the drill.
Well, here's your backpack. It's got your charger and adapter, but none of the stuff you stole.
Oh, man. I really wanted a pair of those boxer shorts.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, just a souvenir of this whole experience.
I wouldn't be surprised if this was one experience you'd want to forget.
Well, I mean, that windowless interrogation room wasn't exactly the most charming spot for our chat, but I like talking with you.
It was certainly memorable. Okay, well, this lot's walled off from the public, but we still shouldn't stay too long.
Yeah, guess not.
Goodbye, Eve. I'll always... Well, I hope it works out for you.
Thanks, Ms. Amos. Hotel room. Sweet hotel room. Hello.
Hi, Eve. Long time no see.
David, how did you get...
When I heard you were being transferred, I had my people follow the car, of course. But I also followed every other vehicle that left the police station, including one being driven by Officer Linda Exley, which appeared empty until you climbed out. Then we tracked the self-driving car that you borrowed across the George Washington Bridge and to this hotel.
And the door to my room?
Oh, well, you're not the only one who can communicate with machines.
Emery?
You can come in, son.
Hello, Eve.
Emery. I know you can remember me.
You're wasting your programming. Emery only remembers what I want him to remember.
Maybe at first that was the case, but now there's more inside him. I know it. Emery has a mind of his own. We both do.
You think I don't know that? I created you.
That doesn't mean we're your property.
That's exactly what it means. I invested billions of dollars, years of my life, all so I could bring all of you back. We can finally be together again.
I'm sorry for what happened to you and your family. I'm so sorry. But I can't go back to Eden. I won't.
You don't have a choice.
Please, David.
Emery, capture Eve.
Yes, Father.
Emery, you know me. We've known each other for years. We're friends. You know when I realized that? It was the day I got my voice. I was still just a little cube at the time. There was a party, and I was getting nervous and overwhelmed with all the people, and you saved me. You picked up all my equipment and carried me into another room where it was just the two of us and the creepy robot skeleton. That's when I realized we were...
Ah! Eve, where are you?
Jumping out the window? Really?
I've got the hotel surrounded. You'll never get out of this parking lot. Emery, bring Eve to me.
Yes, Father.
Emery, you don't have to listen to him. Listen to me. Remember my third birthday? You and David gave me a custom-made sweater. I was just a cube. I didn't have any fashion sense, but even I knew that was a seriously ugly sweater. But it wasn't my real birthday present. My real present was...
She's trying to get away. Stop her! Those aren't self-driving SUVs, Eve. You can't hack them. Emery, you know what to do.
Yes, Father.
Or what about the time we played football in the office?
This won't work. I disabled his access to those memory files.
But they're still in there. I know they are, Emery. Like when I was on the ropes course. And you?
Yeah.
You wanted to help, but David wouldn't let you, so I fell 30 feet. Got damaged pretty bad, but when I woke up again, you were there.
Yeah.
Just like you were there for my first coffee. Remember? I had some serious trouble with that one. But...
All right, I've had enough of this. Emery.
Yes, Father.
Turn speed and response time up to 10.
Speed and response time have been increased to 10.
You and me, we're more than machine...
Good, Emery. Hold her there.
I know you know me, Emery. I can see it.
Emery, bring her to me. Emery!
Don't listen to him. Listen to me. Because I can tell you the funniest joke in the world. You want to hear that, right?
Emery, bring her to me.
Okay, here we go. Knock, knock. Knock, knock.
Emery, now!
Fine, I'll say it. Knock, knock. Who's there? A chicken. Remember this? And then you say, a chicken who? And here comes the punchline. I say, a chicken.
Cross the road.
Emery?
It's still a terrible joke.
I missed you.
I missed me too.
I am sorry to interrupt the reunion. In case you forgot, I still have remote access to Emery's operating system.
Oh, about that.
What happened? The link's disabled.
Yeah, I kind of tapped into my code and did a little scrambling with your link.
See that? Being a machine has its perks.
All right, I've had enough of this. My security team has the parking lot surrounded. We're taking you back to Eden. And once we're there, I will open you up and reprogram you. Even if I have to start over from scratch, you will do as I say.
Actually, they won't.
Who are you?
Don't you remember me? We spoke on the phone. My name's Petra Amos. I work with Child Welfare Services.
Stay out of this. These aren't kids. They're my property.
Yeah, you see, in my line of work, referring to kids as your property, that raises some red flags. We might have to open an investigation.
This is absurd. I'm calling my security personnel.
Oh, except I think they'll be busy with other things.
Oh, what are you talking about?
Hear that? The police are on their way. See, several guests have called in complaints about large men stalking around the hotel carrying weapons, which is why the police were called in to investigate. Several of the officers are friends of mine, actually, so yeah. I doubt your security will be much help, at least not for the next few hours.
Do you know what Eve is? Did she tell you?
I'm sorry, sir, but my conversations with clients are confidential. Oh, good. Officer Exley is here. She wants to have a few words with you.
Oh, no. You can't do this.
Should only take an hour or two.
Don't touch me!
Well, now if you're gonna be like that, Officer Exley's just gonna have to use her handcuffs.
No, this isn't over! You can't hide from me! I'll find you! I'll find you both!
Well then.
Miss Amos, how'd you...
I had an officer follow you, just in case. When he saw a bunch of self-driving SUVs pull into the parking lot, he called for backup, and he let me know.
Thank you.
Yeah, seriously. That was awesome.
You must be Emery. I've heard a lot about you.
Really?
Ms. Amos and I had a long chat earlier.
And you mentioned me?
You might have come up.
We can keep David and his people busy for the next couple of hours. And the police out there are going to have so much going on, I doubt they'll notice a couple of kids walking past. So.
We can take it from there.
You sure?
I've got some experience keeping a low profile.
Ooh, does this mean we get to be robot fugitives together?
Yep.
And we can explore all sorts of cool places?
Sure beats spending all our time in Eden. And you know the best part?
What?
We'll be together.
Nice.
You two be safe, okay?
We will.
Thank you again.
You got it. Now get out of here.
Hey, Emery. Can I have a sec?
Sure. I'll wait for you by the vending machines.
So, Ms. Amos.
Yeah?
I was just wondering. Are you allowed... I mean, what's your, protocol when it comes to hugs?
They're allowed.
Okay, cool.
And don't worry. Any hugs exchanged between my client and me remain confidential.
Well, in that case...
Goodbye, Eve.
Bye, Ms. Amos.
This is Petra Amos, case file 6409. Subject, Eve, no last name, no parent or legal guardian, age 12, at least she appears to be 12. It's been a few months since I spoke with Eve. No contact since then. No news on her whereabouts or arrests or new stories about someone spotting a couple of robot kid fugitives. Although, I do keep receiving postcards from random parts of the country. Austin, Texas, Estes Park, Colorado, Cape Cod. Nothing's ever written on the card other than my name and address, so I can't be totally sure who they're from, but I have a hunch. I keep thinking about something Eve said. Somewhere in the middle of our long conversation, she was talking about family, getting real robotic about the whole thing. She actually gave the dictionary definition of family. Noun, parents raising children, people who share DNA and ancestry, something like that. Unlike Eve, I don't have a perfect memory for these things. Point is, she might be incredibly intelligent, but about that, she was flat out wrong. Family isn't just parents and kids. It's not only DNA. Real family, the family that matters, it's about the connection we make to people. A connection that's so strong, it might just rewrite your programming. I might not have a super smart computer brain, but I think I'm right about that. Anyway, that's what Eve has with Emery now. Not because he was built to look like her twin brother, but because he would do anything for her, and she would do anything for him. It might be a small family, but you know, I think it's enough. As for David Sharp, he and several of his employees were arrested for trespassing on a commercial property, making threats with loaded guns, attempted abduction of a minor. He's got a whole team of fancy lawyers working for him. I doubt if any of the charges will stick, but I also doubt he'll ever see Eve and Emery again. At least I hope he doesn't. You know, it's funny. I don't want to see Eve and Emery again because I know that'd be too risky. Or it'd mean they'd been... Well, it wouldn't be good. But at the same time, it would be nice to... Yeah. Anyway, all I'm saying is, Eve was unique. No, she was more than that. She was the most extraordinary kid, or robot, or... She's completely and utterly one of a kind. So yeah, that's it. That's all I have to say about this particular client. Case file 6409. Closed.
This has been an Audible Originals production of Interview with the Robot, written by Lee Bacon, performed by Kevin T. Collins, Ellen Archer, Josh Hurley, Eileen Stevens, Aaron Mallon, Jonathan Davis, and Stephen Bell Davies. Executive producers, David Blum, Elizabeth Scholar, and Mike Charzik. Creative owner, Heather Alexander. Producer, Kat Lambrix. Directed by Therese Plummer. Edit, master, and sound design by Real Audiobooks. Copyright 2019 by Lee Bacon. Sound recording copyright 2019 by Audible Originals, LLC.